Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, we do praise you and thank you for this story that we remember each and every year. And Lord, as it is a story that we visit every year, may it remain fresh in our hearts. May we hear it with a newness and a freshness as if it is the first time, every time. Because every time, you are an amazing God who is so loving. In the name of Jesus, amen. This is the third Sunday of our Advent series as we journey toward Christmas, and we've entitled this series, The Journey, Walking the Road to Bethlehem. And I don't know about you, but for many years when I hear or tell the story, oftentimes it's the events that I tell as I tell the story. Talk about the angel visits Mary, and then the angel visits Joseph, and then Mary would need to tell her parents her news, and then Joseph would make a decision to stand by Mary, and then eventually celebration of the birth of baby Jesus. But this year, as I've read through the story, I found myself kind of, instead of having that story compressed into events, needing to allow more spaces between those events and to just wonder. To just wonder about the feelings and really the events that happened between those major moments. And so that's what I did with today's message as we consider Mary's visit with Elizabeth, because Mary certainly did need some help to understand what was happening to her life. So Luke begins his gospel with the two conception miracles. There are two women who, by all human standards, shouldn't have been pregnant. Elizabeth, who was barren, she was probably somewhere in her 60s, 70s, or 80s, had never been able to have children in the past. She was well past childbearing years, and her husband Zacharias also was well past those years, but they conceived within her womb a great prophet who would become John the Baptist. And then the second narrative was about Mary, a girl of about 13, certainly a teenager, who would become pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God creating life within her without any human man being involved. So there were two pregnant women and two miracle mothers. I couldn't help but wonder when I was in the hospital with my daughter delivering a few weeks ago while we were there, a mom delivered a 12-pound baby. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know whether to say that was a miracle or if it just was a big baby, but it certainly made me wonder. Elizabeth was old, married for many years, childless and barren, and the other was young and having never been married, and she was a virgin, and one of them was in her 70s or 80s, and the other was in her early teens. And interestingly enough, both of them were relatives. They were both chosen by God to be human instruments for the birth of two very unusual men, John the Baptist and Jesus. Now, if we remember history prior to this moment, we need to remember that for 400 years before this moment, there had not, that, and those are the years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there had not, no one had heard from a prophet, from an angel, or even from God in those all of those 400 years there. Miracles didn't happen, God didn't speak, and angels didn't show up until that moment with Mary and Elizabeth. And that conception, those miracles changed everything. Now remember Elizabeth, she lived in the hill country of Judea in a village of En-Karim, and that would be around Jerusalem, further in the south of the country. And Mary lived in Nazareth in the north part of the country, in a small town near Galilee and in the northern part of Israel. And that community she was from, that village, was so very poor that people didn't live in houses, they lived in caves. And often it was said that surely nothing could ever come from Nazareth. It was a town of nobodies. And in fact, it wouldn't even appear on a first century map. Nazareth and En-Karim were separated by 100 miles. But those two conception miracles in the womb of each of those two women launched a whole series of messianic miracles. The whole miraculous coming of Christ begins with those two conception miracles. And at that point, God had injected himself miraculously into the otherwise non-miraculous course of life. So if you compare the stories of that visitation of the angel to Elizabeth, to the visitation with Mary, what we find is they are actually very parallel accounts. Even though they lived physically miles apart, what they experienced, their stories, are absolutely parallel to one another. Both of them had obstacles to childbearing, either of barrenness or virginity. Second, there was appearance of Gabriel, an angel, to both. Third, there was the immediate reaction of both to the appearance of Gabriel. And then Gabriel, in both cases, said, "Do not be afraid." And then there was the promise of a son to both. And then there was a description of the son. And then to Zacharias, Gabriel said, "You will name him John." And to Mary, she said, "You will name him Jesus." And then Gabriel departed. There was no report anywhere here exactly when that conception, that baby with Mary, occurred. We must assume that probably it happened before the angel had visited her, because in verse 35 of Luke, it says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God." We're never actually told what hour or what moment that happened. It wasn't a moment of fanfare. Mary then, not being able necessarily at that moment to feel anything particular, was just told that it was so. She had to be confused, scared. But the thing that stands out about Mary was that she was faithful. And her initial response to the news was action. And it was an action of faith. She made a decision that she needed to go on a trip, a 100-mile trip south to visit her relative, Elizabeth. And I wonder, that example, what kind of example, or how wise would it be for all of us whenever we have those moments that we're confused, that our first action would be to journey to someone with some wisdom to share with us before we did anything further, that we would have an opportunity to visit. So in verse 39 through 40, we're told, "In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth." The text doesn't say anything about what may have been said at that moment to her family or Joseph. She just said she told her family she needed to get out of there and she needed to go visit her relative Elizabeth, who needed her. So it says she went with haste to Elizabeth and Zechariah. And I think this also certainly reminds us that when God calls any one of us, those can always be very life-changing events. And maybe you can think of a time in your own life when you felt God calling you to a way that would really change your life. I know I felt that when God first called me to pursue a call to ordained ministry. I've sat with many persons who have said, "Well, this was my career path. This is the plan I had. But then God had another path for me." I've sat with people who in the past who were absolutely certain that there was no Jesus, or maybe Jesus was at least just a very good man who did good deeds. But then something happened. And think about the lives in the Bible that happened to. Think about the woman at the well. Think about the prostitute. Think about the Apostle Paul. Lives were suddenly changed. Mary's life was changed, so she went in haste to visit Elizabeth. Now, I think if we understand the geography and topography of the area, it helps me to better understand the urgency and the determination that Mary had in making that visit, because that would not have been a very easy journey that she would be making during her first trimester of pregnancy. If we look at a map, what we can see on the left, we can see the Mediterranean Sea, and up in northern Israel, we see Nazareth, which is what was Mary's hometown, and the lines journey down to Jerusalem, and you can see En Kerem is just even beyond that area. That's the journey that she had to make. Not only was that the journey that she made, about 100 miles, but in between there would have been two mountain ranges that she would have had to traverse. And so we can know that in her determination to make this trip, that it probably was a difficult decision for her family to release her and to allow her, because young girls of her age were protected by their fathers, and she was engaged to Joseph. But she was determined to go, and we can probably assume that she traveled with a caravan for that long, long journey. She would eventually arrive at that home village of Elizabeth Ann Zechariah in the village of Inkerim. And today, there's a beautiful church, St. John the Baptist Cathedral, that is built over that home of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And inside that church, you still have an opportunity today to go down a stairway to the left of the altar, down to the floor of their home, and have an opportunity to touch a stone that still is in that place. I really think that trip that Mary was making was a trip for personal confirmation. I think she needed someone to confirm those words of angels. I think she knew she had a hint that would happen there when she was told that Elizabeth was carrying a child. She had to have some sort of affirmation or confirmation because she knew what life was going to be like for her in the future, when she told her parents, when she told Joseph, when the people in the village heard. And then she also knew in the scriptures in Deuteronomy that this probably could potentially mean certain death for her. She wanted to be strong in her faith, so she went to someone who she knew could help her in that journey. So she went to their house. And in those scriptures, several times it says that she was greeted by Elizabeth. And we need to pause and realize what that word greeting means, because it's a little bit different, that Near East experience with that. It's a little different than what we understand today. Oftentimes our greeting is much like maybe as we have our meet and greet before most of our worship services. It's a time, hi, how are you, and just a quick few sentences. But greeting at that time in the Near East was much, much more than that. And I think we have a good picture of that if we look back in the Old Testament in Exodus, considering Moses. Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and he bowed down and kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. That's a classic greeting in the Near East. It was those initial words, but what it says is there then was a long time of dialogue. And so in the scripture, we can know that's what happened, was that after that, those initial words of hello, how are you, there would be a long dialogue. And we can know that Mary and Elizabeth certainly had a lot to share. Elizabeth would have disclosed to Mary that she was pregnant and how Zechariah had been serving in the temple at that time, and the angel of Gabriel came to him, and they were told that this son would neither drink wine nor liquor, and he would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, and that he would be the forerunner of the Messiah. And then Mary would have shared with Elizabeth that Gabriel had come to her in her hometown in Nazareth, told her that she was going to be the mother of the Son of God, and this was going to occur without a man, and God was going to plant that child in her womb, and he was going to create that child apart from human conception, and they would have shared their stories, and there would be a realization of the parallel of their stories, that their patterns were identical. And this had to be encouraging to Mary. Not only was there a personal confirmation, but I also believe at the same time, at a more spiritual level, there was a physical confirmation that was happening. And that was because of John the Baptist as he was growing inside the womb of Elizabeth. He was growing. He was the smallest prophet that there ever would be. And in scripture, it said that he had even begun to prophesy from the womb, as when Mary's voice was heard, John the Baptist leapt within her. And so it was a silent prophecy. And again, another opportunity for affirmation for Mary. So as I think about this entire encounter, I think, what does it say, and what is relevant for us today, other than knowing the story and affirming more of what we know about God and Jesus? What I think it says to us today is that there is a picture of mentoring that happens here, a picture that is a beautiful reminder to us of the blessings and possibilities when a village works together, or when there's intergenerational support and actions. And in my mind, for the church today, this certainly is a part of, for example, our baptismal vows. When we baptize our little infants and our children as a congregation, we take those vows together to uphold that child as they grow in their belief in Jesus Christ. So I wonder, as we take those vows together, do you ever wonder if God desires for you to be Elizabeth to that child? I also wonder if maybe you've never physically birthed a child, But God is calling you to be an Elizabeth to another child or another you. I'm going to change that to a verb. I'm going to say, is God calling you to do any Elizabeth-ing? I'm launching in 2018 what I'm very excited about, which I think is kind of a similar mentoring Elizabeth-ing kind of experience. As a part of my premarital counseling, I'm going to begin to connect a long-time married couple with the engaged couple so that they can be Elizabethed. Maybe in your life you were Elizabethed by someone, and just maybe it's time now for you to do the Elizabeth-ing. Mary went to Incarim for that kind of support. And as a reminder of that happening, there in that village today, there's a church of the John the Baptist. And this is an older church that was built over a cistern, which was probably the place where Mary and Elizabeth would have gone to draw water together. And outside of that church, on the outside of the church, there's a fresco or a mosaic. I can't remember which it is. But it's actually a picture of Mary approaching Elizabeth. And then outside of that church, there's a beautiful statue. And I think it's so beautiful because it's a statue of Mary and Elizabeth standing together. And you clearly see, when you look at the faces, you can see the age difference. And you can also look at their abdomens and you can see the different stages of pregnancy. Two women there together. The other beautiful thing there along the wall, there are little tiles, and on each tile is Mary's song, the one that we call the Magnificat today. And it's there in 70 different places in 70 different languages. And I believe that beautiful song that Mary sang was as a result of the journey and the personal confirmation that she received from a woman who mentored her when she needed that kind of encouragement and support. And so I read from you from Luke 1, Mary's song as she realized who God is and what was happening to her. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Mary was able to understand what had happened to her, and what would be happening to her was a blessing from God. So remember, we are often reminded that doing the things of God and following God is not always the easiest path, but Mary knew it had been affirmed that God was working through her. And as she celebrated that in who God was, a God of mercy, a strong God, and a just God, and she knew that was the God who was going to sustain her through her experience. And in this song, she also further shares what she knew about God, that he lifts the lowly and meek. There's a reversal of fortunes found in the gospel where the lifting themselves up are torn down and those who are humbling himself are pulled up. And we see this throughout the teachings of Jesus. The first will be the last. If you really want to be great, you're going to be a servant of others. And if you go to a wedding banquet, you need to take the lowest seat. And don't sit at the head table, because the master will call you to sit at the head table if you sit there. Mary was filled with joy as she realized all of this that was going on in her life and realized all of this about God. And I believe that to this very day, God still calls us to connect and grow and serve. And this way, through mentoring, is just one of those ways that we have an opportunity to do that. So let's consider this challenge this day. Find your Elizabeth. Who was this person for you? Who Elizabethed you? Maybe this Christmas would be a good time to thank that person, because they may have no idea about the impact that you had made on their life. Be an Elizabeth Where is someone who is searching for wisdom and encouragement that you can share? I found in my own life that when I step out of my own busyness and my own distractedness, it is amazing how often at those times are the times when I encounter someone that I could be an Elizabeth to. Find your Mary. Who is it that displays amazing faith and who inspires you? But finally, be a Mary. Live daily asking God what kind of servant He desires you to be, and be willing to be faithful, no matter what that may be, to step out where you will truly realize true blessings from God. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, we do praise you and thank you for the gift of the story and the encounter between Mary and Elizabeth, Lord. And this season, may that kind of relationship challenge us to grow in our faith in the way that we serve you and the way that we know you. God, you have sent to us the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And may that not simply be a story, but may it be an event, that an experience that changes all of our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen.